Like, act like there's a crown on your head.
How do I look?
You look dignified. You look royal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And Bean, today we're going to talk about validation addiction. Are you ready?
Do you love me? Irene, it's been a while. Let's just be honest.
I know. Well, it's been a while for us, but not for our listeners, because we did a good job having some episodes back to back. But we haven't recorded in 2 weeks because I
And why is that?
This is my delight. I'm back from Bali.
Yeah, you are.
Everything miraculous that I wanted it to be and more. It was so amazing. I was there for 10 days at a retreat with amazing women.
I feel like
freaking
fracking, you know? Zen. I feel like you returned to the divine goddess that you are.
Thank you, Bean.
You're welcome.
I really did feel, you know, someone asked me yesterday, what's the thing you felt?
Was
oh, my
me?
Sister, obviously. No. What's the thing you felt the most? You know, my sister wants to like get into the feels.
Yeah, she really does. She's all about the feels now.
Yeah. What's the thing you felt the most? And I was like, freedom. And one, because I didn't have kids to take care of. It was just me and TJ and 19 women. So TJ had quite the wonderful time. He really did, actually. He really did fit right in, which was really amazing. So there was that. But it was this, like, I don't know what it is about Bali or the fact that, like, you really can't give a shit about your hair or what, you know, because it's just humid and wild. Where I didn't have a single moment of, what does this person think about me? Not once.
Oh, I love that. And how perfect for this episode.
Wow. It's true. Oh, you're right. I didn't even think about
that. Oh, did you not even think about
that? No, I swear I did not. I wasn't trying to transition because I still want to talk about Bali. Also, what a culture of reverence Bali is.
Ooh.
I mean, so much reverence for everything in that culture, for inanimate objects, for adamant objects, for animals, for humans, for obviously the divine. Everywhere you went, there was a temple. Half of these temples had waterfalls in them.
Ooh,
I mean,
like here.
Just gorgeous. Yeah.
Wow. I love
just
that.
Like Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Well, it is kind of like Bucks County. I was joking about America as a whole.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Sorry.
No shade to Bucks County.
Yeah, no shade at all. It is darling here. You could find your Zen and divine goddess inside in beautiful Bucks County, PA.
Well, you know what the truth is that you honestly can do that anywhere if you really stop and take some time and space for yourself and stop trying to chase all these things constantly. Like, that's the other reminder for me, is just slow down. Stop chasing everything so hard.
I feel like, though, Bali might be like a smidge better than some other places. Like, I bet you can do it anywhere. But if I had to do it somewhere, I'm going to go Bali, please. Bali,
you and I are going to Bali. I am going to have – I think I'm – I and a couple of other women there, healers, amazing, just like self-actualization people, talked about doing a retreat together there.
Okay. And I will
are you,
be there.
Of course, you'll be there. I really do see myself going back and doing – hosting a retreat.
Oh, Beans in Bali. Get Beans ready. So fun. We could do a documentary.
Oh, we could do a live recording. Come on, guys. Join us in Bali. We'll do a live show.
Oh, it'll be so good.
Anyway, that was my delight, Bean. I'm still just – I'm delighted out. I really
– Wow.
Still feel it.
I feel
which
it.
Is so good. And the jet lag. So if I'm half asleep while you're talking, no offense. I do find you interesting. It's just the jet
thank
lag.
You. You're about the only one. So thank you. Validate me and tell me I'm interesting.
What about you? What's your cringe delight?
My delight
you're stressed
sounds,
out these days.
I'm stressed. But my delight is so minor compared to yours. I've had it's like – it's almost comical what I'm about to share compared to you finding yourself in Bali. I have wanted to paint one step in my laundry room since we moved into this house 3 years ago, and it's been on my to-do list. And we have a big event coming up, and nothing like a big event to get your house in order. And this morning, something I've been literally waiting to do for 3 years took me 12 minutes, and I made a mess, but I painted the step. And I was congratulations. Like, damn, that is done. I walk in that room 6 to 18 times a day because I do that much laundry. Plus it goes to our garage. And every time I look at the step, I think, God damn it, just paint it. Every time. And today,
why is that one step not painted?
I had the floors redone when we moved in, and like this was like this unfinished step down into the laundry room. I don't know what the deal was. It was like weird. I don't know. But I kept just being like, I'll just paint it. Originally, I wanted to tile it, and then it got out of control. And I was like, I'm just going to paint it dark to match the floor. And
beautiful.
I just did it.
What color did you paint it?
Like a dark gray, like the floor. It's sort of the same. You went to Bali and found yourself, and I painted my fucking laundry room step. I do have a cringe.
Found yourself.
I do have a cringe. Well, I think I'll share it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I have an epic cringe, but we can't talk about it on air.
Oh, no, no. Yours is really good. Mine, yeah. I would like your opinion on whether or not this came across as appearing racist, even though I am a racist. I'm walking my dog the other day. A handsome black man walked out of his UPS truck, and neither my dog nor myself noticed him. And my dog immediately turned, and she watches these UPS guys from the window all day, like she's going to savagely maul them. Mind you, my dog's 40 pounds, but she just thinks she's going to like get after everybody. So she's always barking at the Amazon guy and the UPS guy, like all the dogs do. Anyway, he comes out of his truck and she's startled and like kind of shakes and then runs up to him. And I say, oh, sorry, she's never seen one of you so up close. And I was referring to was the actual delivery people, right? Because she normally sees them from the window and is like, any color delivery person, she will try to murder. So I was thinking she never gotten so close to a delivery person. So it made her like startled, right? Because normally she has the window to act real bad and behind. This time she was like live and in person and she didn't know what to do with herself. But then I said that and I thought he didn't say anything. We just like sort of giggled and walked away. And then I thought, shit, do you think that's what he thought? That's what I want to know.
I think that not that I have this experience, but my sense is that living as a black person in this country and in this world, there's always that kind of like staring, you know, treating differently. You know, there's that experience of it.
Right,
that is,
you know, that's not me.
I know it's not, but I'm just saying to you, might he think that? Yes, because unfortunately, we live in a world where that's the way people of color are treated. So it's possible, but that's not your intention.
It wasn't, but that was really cringy for me because it so was not in my intention, and I'm so not a racist.
Oh my God. Now it's cringy for me.
Oh, I knew. So I knew you were going to say that. So it wasn't.
No,
real
it's
cringe.
Not. Listen, I totally understand putting your foot in your mouth in that way. I've done it a million times myself. And, you know, what can you do other than just forgive yourself? You had no bad intention.
I didn't even mean, I would have said it if he was white.
No,
it
no, no. I mean, forgive yourself for the like, for feeling so like,
I feel bad.
Cringy about it. Yeah.
I don't want him to think anything of me.
Well, of course. I'm sure that it's okay, Bean.
But it's fine because I painted my step today. So, you know.
So you're good. Okay. Well, anyway, so I'm really proud of you for painting your step. And I thought
I'm
that
proud
today.
Of you for finding yourself as a healer in Bali. So sort of
Thank
the same
you.
Also. Yeah.
You keep saying I found myself. I didn't find myself, but I did.
Return.
I was reminded. Thank you.
Return to yourself. You've been getting, I will admit to all the listeners out there, you have a lot going on right now. I feel like you've been a little less like in tune with yourself. You're still being a badass bee, but you've been a little like, what if, who's this, what's happening? And I'm like, what bee? This isn't you. And I feel like you went to Bali, recentered, and came back like totally level-headed like yourself again. Not that you were bad before.
No. I get what you're saying. I was a little focused on chasing all the things that I want and getting the validation that the things that I want and the people who I care about and the people who I want to care about me care. And I think I went to Bali and I remembered, oh, no, that's not what it's about. What it's right. about is your purpose in the world and right. just sitting in that for yourself first. I think the biggest takeaway for me was I need a spiritual practice, a relaxation practice, an exercise practice for me.
Yes.
That's about me feeling resourced. And I know right. I say that to people all the time, but I wasn't doing it. I was really focused on showing up, you know, getting ready for the sessions, writing the book, right. putting out outlines for the podcast, like just making stuff for other right. people to heal right. rather than focusing on my own ritual and process. So I think that that was a good reminder. And then the other reminder was just that the solution is never in the worry. That I tend to worry and worry and worry and think and think and think. And that from that place of really trying to overthink something, the solution will never present Ever. Itself.
Right. You'll spiral Ever. Downward.
Yeah. So it's really allowed me. There's definitely things I'm concerned about right now, but it's allowed me to – I just keep remembering, okay, so if you want a solution, the best thing you can do is get level and centered. Because that's where the solution will come from, not from constantly chewing on it and thinking about it nonstop.
I just feel like you seem calmer too. I love it. I'm here for it. I love you in all of your phases and I validate you in every area. But
okay, well, we've been trying to transition to this a million times. Might as well just do it. Bean, okay. we're talking about validation addiction today.
What?
Because what? Are you shocked? Why are we doing this episode? We always like to say why. And by the way, guys, before we even get into this topic, which we're hoping is going to be both enlightening and give you some actionable tools to walk away with so that yes. you can live free of validation addiction. But before we do that, Bean, would you agree that if people want to support us and show us their love, one of the best things they can do is share this podcast with people that they think yes. would enjoy it?
And send us sweet treats. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, share the love. Share us. Share what you learn. Share our episodes.
It's the best way to support the podcast so that we can keep making the podcast. Obviously, the more and more people listen, the more we can keep making these episodes and that are hopefully helpful. So share with your friends and obviously also leave us a review if you are so inclined. And you can follow us on Instagram at Signal with Maury and Melissa. And if you engage there, that helps us too. Anyway, okay, so done with that plug. Validate us.
If you validate us, we'll keep doing it.
Okay, so back to the episode. So why are we doing this validation addiction episode? When I started doing this work of purpose and intuition coaching, intuitive life coaching, I don't even know what to call it anymore. But as I was started to do all of this work, what I really noticed immediately is that the biggest blocker to our ability to center in our own infinite wisdom, to trust that wisdom, to slow down and listen to our internal life, the biggest impediment to that was how much all of us desire validation from external sources and how much that desire causes us to chase this validation so that so many of our actions come from that desire to be wanted, to be told we are good or lovable, more than it comes from being aligned to whatever our inner truth is. So if that means that we believe something or we want to use our voice to say something that is reflective of what is true to us, we're less likely to do that because we have a fear that others won't understand or accept or love us for our truth. And so I coined this term validation addiction at that time because it was I don't know. I guess you could go Google it and I'm sure someone else has brought it up, but okay. This is something I started saying at that time, 6 years ago, that really is about becoming more interested in what others think of you than you are in what you believe and what you think and what you want. That is where the addiction part of it comes in. And so doing things to chase that validation and that's your motivation more than wanting to express what's truest for you.
I do really feel like that's kind of where you were getting stuck before Bali. which is yes. not totally like you. You were getting really stuck in the cycle of needing validation more, and it was yes. throwing you off center, off balance.
I'll tell you something that I've noticed about validation and validation addiction, which is if it goes to the extent that, again, you're not able to live without it. You know, I think that every time you embark on something new, that monster yes. comes out again. Because, definitely. And I don't want to call it a monster, actually. It's just a younger part of you. But that limiting part comes up again. That one that wants validation, because you're not sure you got what it takes. You don't have evidence that you can do this thing. You don't right. have evidence that you should belong in the new spaces that you're occupying. And so this need for others to say to you, yes, you belong. Yes, you know what you're doing. Really wields itself. And I think that's what you're talking about. I think that's where I was a little stuck, was totally. Making, you know, writing the book, being an author, putting myself out there in that way, being in new circles, trying to make new friends, being isolated making from my content. Family. Yeah, yeah. Making content, all of that. So yeah. I agree with you. I think I returned to that place that I had healed. And remember, we never heal anything completely away, but I returned to that place of needing validation because I was embarking on something new. And the voice inside was like, you don't know what you're doing and you don't belong here.
How do you know what you're doing, though, without validation when you are in a new space, right? Like, yeah. I even for me, this podcast still feels very new. And it's like, I don't know how I'm doing. I just hope yeah. the listeners are going to keep sharing it and then it gets bigger. But otherwise, how do I even know how I'm doing?
That's a good question. Without we'll get the to validation. That. I want to start with okay. you because we just, oh. well, you know, we really put me on blast.
I was really trying to make you more relatable because it happens to even like the coaches who are teaching others to do exactly this.
No, I. Right? This is what this podcast it's is for. It's to talk about exactly. our lives. I don't mind. I'm exactly. just saying it's your turn, boo. What's an area of your life currently where you see yourself seeking validation?
Well, I don't need validation, but no, I'm just kidding. This bat mitzvah has been driving me insane. And truthfully, I'm not like trying to blast my husband. He's busy with his work and his job and stuff, but I'm handling so much of the bat mitzvah on top of handling the household and working and doing everything. And I have been like, you're not to my husband. You're not even like telling me, hey, thanks for doing all of this, or hey, great job handling that, or how can I, there hasn't been a lot of encouragement in that area. And mm-hmm. I feel like I like am going up to him and almost blatantly asking like, why haven't you told me I'm doing a good job? And mm-hmm. I don't like being like that because I typically do not respond to things in that way a lot in life, but mm-hmm. it is natural and it happens to everybody. And I think another one I thought about was consistently for being a stay-at-home mother, even though I knew in my heart of hearts that I was a great mother and I still am a great mother, I felt like I was always looking to my husband to validate that, right? Because you have no boss, you have nobody above you saying like giving you an annual review. You're just like hoping you're doing a good job. So I do feel like even still probably I seek validation from my husband about that kind of stuff.
Do you feel like he is the person you seek the most validation from?
Yes. I don't know why, but yes. Because like you said, I don't yeah. do it a lot, right? Yeah. Like most people, I'm like, I don't fucking care what you say. But yes, I do. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's been the case from the moment you met him, or did it change when you had kids?
I think it changed when I had kids.
Yeah.
And I think I also feel truthfully like probably the financial dynamic, which I've discussed openly on this, has probably somehow subconsciously played a role in that as well.
In that he makes most of the money.
He's the breadwinner. And that there's a quantifiable return on his work, right? And mine was always like just being a great mom. And there is no true... there's no like tangible return on that other than your kids being good kids. Mm. So I think that that was always it. It was like, you are showing that this is how you're doing your job. Your salary is growing in this way. And like, what am I showing? What am I doing? How am I showing you that I grow? But then I still don't know why I feel like I need it. What if about- I know that I'm a good mom.
Right. Well, I think the tangible outcome is literally the kids and the way that they are and function in the world and how really incredible all three of them are and how well adjusted they are in the world. But that aside, what would him telling you that get you?
I think support, but is that what validation really is? I feel like I'm not sure.
Well, I think that you do want the support. I think that they're two different things, though. But I do think it's something to think about, and you don't have to answer right now. I think for anyone who's relating to this, what Melissa's saying, my question would be, what is it from this person telling me, good job, I will get? What is this specific person? Why is their validation specifically so important to me? What is it about them that would make me feel like good about myself if they said, you're doing a great job?
I'm just curious if you know the answer. I don't know the answer. Do you know the answer?
I have some guesses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they shareable?
I mean,
or
I think
not
in
shareable.
General, I just want to make sure I want to make sure it's relatable to everyone.
Correct.
But I will say in general, without like psychoanalyzing you specifically, I think that you're right. One, when you are reliant on someone for survival, then them showing you that they value you is a really important message to your younger self, who needed that validation from their actual caregivers to survive. So there is that younger part that's like, I have to stay safe and you are responsible for my safety. So I need to be reminded that I'm valued so that I will be safe in knowing that you will continue to provide safety for me, that this is not going to end abruptly because you don't value me. So there's a real primal need for safety in validation, I think, that we get from people who have some role in providing for us. And that can be your supervisor. That can be, for me, my publisher. You know, it can be anyone. It doesn't have to be a partner. But I think that the largest theme of validation is I need to know I'm valuable so that I can trust that I'm safe.
It's just interesting to me because I did not have that growing up. I had extremely validating parents always telling me that I was great all the time.
Yeah.
So it does feel like this isn't some old pattern of mine. So it does feel a little confusing to me, but you're right. It's anybody that you're reliant on that maybe you're not getting it from, you then seek it to feel safe. That makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly.
So wise.
So I think that it's so relatable that that's who you want it from. But I would say that if you're exploring your relationship with validation, like Bean and I are doing, you know, I would really start with who are these people that I want validation from and what do they mean to me? What is it that I think I'm going to get from them that I don't believe I have access to inside myself, right? Because that is the key reframe right there,
right?
Is that you are handing power over to someone else because you believe that they are more capable, more likely, more worthy of providing those things than you are for yourself. Now, I'm not just talking to you. I'm saying in general, when we are seeking validation, it means that we think the person outside of us has something for us that we don't have within ourselves.
What if that is not the case? That's why I'm saying it. And I know we're not just talking about me. I'm talking about I am seeking this validation to someone who I know I'm doing a good job right now. I know that I'm killing the game and that I'm handling everything like a goddamn champion. So why do I then still need somebody else to say, maybe it's just like the appreciation aspect of it more than the validation aspect of it for me.
But I think going back to what we were talking about around care and caregiving and safety, I think that if you had a stern belief that you on your own could provide for yourself and your kids, it would become less relevant to you. So that's what I mean when I say you have a belief that this person outside of you is more capable of providing this thing than you are.
Right. Which is unrelated to what I'm even doing anyway. Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. And support's different. I think that now we're getting into relationships where, of course, it's a partnership. You want support from your partner. That is absolutely your right to expect that from your partner and communicate that. This is different. This is, you know, making you feel that you matter. Right. Anyone making you feel that you matter is where I would categorize validation.
Now I'm a little stuck on the thing, how we do it for safety. And so I'm thinking back to childhood, and that's natural. I mean, all children naturally seek validation from their parents. It's like we're like biologically wired, I feel like, to seek validation from our parents to know that we're safe. So in that case, would you say that validation in that particular situation, and I'm sure it's applicable to other situations in life, is always bad? Is that always bad? To be seeking validation, like as a kid saying, I want my mom to tell me I'm doing a good job. I feel like that's reasonable.
It's such a good question. It's so reasonable because so much of the way that we craft our image as children is mm-hmm. looking at the mirror of our parents and our friends. And I think that, you know, we talk about this in like Intuitive Kids episodes and other episodes where we talk about parenting. What my wish is that all of us had parents that had enough awareness to see us truly and not project their stuff onto us and therefore allow us to see ourselves clearly, which would make us seek less validation as adults. But our parents are, you know, just doing the best they can with what they're trying to heal, and therefore they're projecting a lot of their own limiting beliefs. But no, it's not all bad, because that is how we start to understand ourselves. That's how we start to build our identities in like, hey, what do you see in me, mom and dad? What do you value in me? What am I good at? Like, you know, you hear your parents when you're little, you know, I do this to Raina. Come out here and sing. You're such a brilliant, talented performer. That is instant validation that that's who she is. And it's something she wants to be, thank God. So hopefully I'm validating something that is true to her. But that from a very young age, she heard that message repeatedly, and that did help craft some of her image and her confidence around being the performer that she is. So is it all bad? No. I think it becomes bad when it becomes our primary motivation for everything that we do, because then it's a hectic chase for an elusive reward. Like, really think about needing other people to say, yes, this is a good job. Yes, you're worthy. Yes, you did this really well. And remember that when we need that consistently, what we are doing is trusting other people who are not clear vessels themselves, who are dealing with their own triggers, traumas, limiting beliefs, stressors, to somehow see through the fog of their own limiting beliefs and see us clearly. They cannot, they will not. So that's why I say it's elusive, because you're looking to someone else, trusting that they have a better view of you than you have of yourself. How can they see you clearly when they can't even see themselves clearly?
I feel like that's the majority of people I know, to be totally honest.
It is. Sadly. It's human nature. It's human nature to seek validation in this way. And I think that what I'm not advocating for is like, everyone stop seeking validation. That's ridiculous. And also, I'd be a hypocrite. Right. You see me out on Instagram literally making content for likes, right?
Right.
Really, I'm making it so that hopefully I'm helpful. But if you don't like that content, then it doesn't go anywhere.
Get out there.
Right. So I'm not ever going to tell you that you should try to live a life of no validation. But what I am saying is, I would love for you to start with the internal exploration of, what am I doing this for really? Am I really doing this action because I need someone else to value it? Or can I start with, well, how do I value it? How do I feel when I say or do this thing? How do I feel when I operate in the world in this way? And if you feel dignified, if you feel centered, if you feel clear, that feeling is so much more intoxicating when you can get in touch with it than someone else smiling and nodding at you or patting you on the head for doing something you don't even feel that good about doing.
Great tip. Check with yourself first. Great tip. No, seriously, it seems so obvious. It seems so obvious, but nobody does it. We're always like, what is everyone going to think? What is everyone going to say? But just be like, what do you think and say first before you value what everybody else has to say?
Yeah.
I think we have to talk now, since you just said it, plus there's no way to not address it here, is that what does this addiction now look like with social media? it's like, I feel like we could talk for 14 days about this and the harm that it's creating because of this intense need for a validation that especially young people are now seeking all the time, and how that's going to translate into their adult life. And it breaks my heart all the time.
You know, I think that the thing about social media is that it's taken validation addiction and just quantified it.
Totally.
So you're able to put a number to how validated you are. I have X number of followers, X number of people followed my post or liked my post, X number of people shared it. Like, you're now quantifying it. And then there's, you know, benchmarks that you're setting and you're racing for the next one. So I do think that it's obviously exacerbated our validation addiction. Because
I mean, nearly like to put it lightly.
Yeah. Nearly everything you make and put out there on social is to get a form of validation. Let's just be honest. Actually, everything that you make and you put out on social is to get a form of validation. In fact, I think this podcast has been such an interesting experience, at least for me, because this is content that you and I really spend a lot of time planning and making. And it comes with almost zero validation because it really does. It's not the kind of platform where you're able to see all the time who's listening and what they think about it. Yeah, every month we can see the number of listeners, and we're so grateful that it's growing and people are listening. And so, yes, we get that validation on a monthly basis. But on a weekly basis, we genuinely have no idea. And I have to say, it's kind of been so freeing because we just keep coming back to, what do we want to share with people? Or like you always ask me, Maury, what do you want to coach people about this week? What do you really want to help them in their lives around? Yeah. And it comes from an internal compass for both of us that social media does not allow for. Like when I'm making content, it's all about who liked it. Was it better when it was a video like this? Was it better when I said it like that? Did people relate when I said this thing? And so it's like everything is this externalized compass of how are people engaging with my message versus, wait, what is it? You know, I still start with, what do I want to say? But it's a little cloudier than the making of this podcast because it's this constant feedback mechanism that's changing the way I say what I say.
I wonder if that actually, just thinking about it, is what has been tripping you up prior to Bali.
Because 100%.
You were not creating content like that. And all of a sudden you're creating all of this content and you're putting it out there for the past few years and waiting to see who responds and how they respond. And then that becomes your sort of your mindset, I guess, that you move through life. So how do we save the children?
You know what? I think the worst thing we can do about social media is villainize it. I've said this before, I think.
Oh, too late for me.
Okay. I've told you that though. Because it is just a natural way of communicating for their generation. And us villainizing it is the equivalent of, you know, in the 50s, people being afraid of rock and roll. Like, it's just not realistic to believe that this generation of kids and the kids behind them are not going to be just fully digital human beings. That is the world they live in. But I do think, instead of villainizing the platform, there has to be conversation about validation, right? Like, what is this really getting you? What is it really allowing you to do? Or is it holding you back, this feeling that you have? Are you able to really be yourself? Okay, no. What does that feel like? What does other people liking you mean to you? Just having the conversation so that it's out there so that they can process in their own minds, oh, okay, like I'm doing this because I want likes. What do these likes mean? What do they really mean? Rather than just chasing them without being aware of what's going on. So I think it's more about having a conversation with our kids about validation, about how empty it is when you finally get it, and about how much them spending time really figuring out, who am I? What do I want? What do I believe? How much that matters, because it allows them to be so much freer and so much more honest and in touch with themselves.
I mean, I think that's beautiful. I do. I just don't fully agree. I mean, I think their brains are still developing in a way. This isn't even a social media episode anyway, but I think their brains are still developing in a way that they can't remove themselves and see it from an outside perspective. And I do think that they do not feel empty when they get those likes and validation. They get these small serotonin blasts.
Totally.
That keep fueling them. And then they have lows when they're not getting it. So they seek it. It's like a drug, right? It's a true addiction. And validation addiction, like you said.
It is so true. And I don't think that kids should be on social media platforms from a young age. I'm definitely not advocating for that. I think thinking about teenagers because I have teenagers.
Right.
You're right that when they're younger, when they're tweens, they really can't handle it. They really can't handle the race for popularity being so quantifiable like that and how devastating it is when they're not getting the likes. It's really hard.
I think that's hard for teens too. Honestly, I think that's hard for adults that we're talking about it. I think across the board, people are, like you said, they're posting because they want likes and they want that they want to feel good about themselves.
100%.
Why are we all like this? Why is this addiction so prevalent?
So let's think about the three basic psychological needs we have as human beings. We need safety, we need belonging, and we need dignity. Those are the three things that make us whole as humans. We exist in a society and a culture across the board that has not taught us how to search for those things internally. First of all, safety, like we talked about from the time you're a child, is reliant on external sources. So right then, you immediately are in need of other people to survive. So it's encoded in you from the moment that you start to become aware that other people are necessary for your survival, that need for validation. And then it grows into these other areas from there, belonging. As you start to make friends, you need a community. You need to feel like you belong in a tribe. And so we enter school and we want to attract people to us. We want to be a part of a friend group. We don't want to be isolated. And the way that we can recognize whether we're able to attract people to us or not is whether they like us or not, whether they become our friends or not. So then again, that need for validation is underscored because it allows belonging. And then dignity. I matter. I can hold my head up high because we're not talking enough about that dignity coming from an internal source, then naturally, if safety comes from external, if belonging comes from external, then naturally to us, granting ourselves dignity comes from external. It comes from other people saying you're valuable, you're lovable, and therefore you should be dignified. So it is this trickle effect that is super normal and natural. And that's why I say, let's not pretend like we're going to live without it. That's not possible. But where we can intercede and reframe it is to begin to take our consciousness and our awareness to a place of, wait a minute, now as an adult, can I create safety for myself? How? Get really clear. How am I creating safety for myself in this life?
Can you give an example, like a tangible example of how to create safety for yourself as an adult?
Absolutely. Boundaries. What do I and do I not allow in my energy space? What do I and do I not accept from other people and the way that they treat me?
And that's tricky, I feel like, in your 20s and 30s when you're just sort of becoming an adult and coming into your own. I feel like people are not as good with boundaries at those ages.
Of course, because you're still searching for belonging and you're searching to be dignified from the outside. But the way that you can create safety for yourself is to literally have a boundary between what makes you feel unsafe and what makes you feel safe, and not allow the things and the people and the attitudes and the energies that make you feel destabilized in your sphere because you've been taught to make other people more comfortable than you do yourself. There's also financial safety. I would say to you, and we've had this conversation, if this is a place of insecurity, taking steps to show yourself, actually, I can do this. Actually, I can be a source of income. I just need to remind myself that I'm capable of it. That's coming from me, not from someone else. So when I say safety, it's how do you generate safety for yourself in whatever area you're feeling unsafe Is it that you're going to take a self-defense class? Is it that you are working on your relationships with people that feel bad and having them have more distance in your life? Is it that you're figuring out a different way of making money and generating income and being resourceful as a human being? But it's about looking internal. How do I generate safety?
Good one. Really good one.
Then there's belonging. When we're looking for validation, this is the hardest one because we are communal beings. So in the belonging sphere, my advice would be, and I am working on this alongside the rest of you, as Bean has pointed out, my advice would be the difference between belonging and getting validation from those that you want to be in relationship with is this. Belonging says, I know I hold value in this circle. I know from the work I'm doing on self, because I have stopped to check in and really talk to all those younger parts of me that never felt valued and reminding them, here are the 15 things you're amazing at. You're funny, you're smart, you're witty, you're helpful, whatever. Make a checklist. Talk, like literally visualize yourself at the age where you felt the most insecure. That is the self that is defining your strategies for getting belonging even today. So make a list. What were all of the wonderful things, like you're talking to a child about that child, and remind yourself of your value. If you can remind yourself of your value and you can believe it, which is going to take practice. This isn't a one and done thing. But right. If you believe it, then when you walk into a group of people, you are less likely to be reaching so hard for someone else to remind you that you're valuable, because you've already done the exercise of just at least trying to remember what is intrinsically valuable about you. So again, it just goes back to that awareness of, this is what I know about myself, which allows you to be centered and rooted. That is the most magnetic energy on the planet. Agreed. When you are centered and rooted, people are magnetized to you. Why? Because they're looking at you being like, what the hell do they have right. that I haven't figured out? I want some of that. And what you have is an awareness of your intrinsic value.
I think also back to belonging, and what you were saying is becoming more aware of that feeling when you are with people. When you are reaching, everybody has those people that are around where they feel a little uncomfortable and like they're trying really hard. Yeah. And be mindful of that and say to yourself, maybe this isn't where I want to be. If I have to reach this hard and I have to get outside of myself in this way, this person who might seem sparkly and dazzling may not be the best fit for me. I feel like I have to constantly reach to belong here. Find the people who you're around who it feels comfortable and natural, and they see you and they value you instead of begging someone to see your value.
Yes. And utilize that person as a teacher for your own healing. What is it about this person that really makes me want to seek their validation? Why do I need them to see me as sparkly? And work on whatever that brings up for you. This is something that I am currently navigating with the communities that I am starting to enter as I'm working on positioning myself as like, no, you're an author. Like, you're out there in the world talking to other authors. So here I am talking to best-selling authors in rooms where I have to, if I am reaching for their validation and I feel like I don't get it, or I get, you know, snubbed in some way, which happens.
Sure.
I can say, well, you don't need to reach for that person. But even more healing is, what is it about that person that you needed their validation from? Oh, it's because they've written a book that was a bestseller and this is what you're hoping for. And so you need them to see you this way. Like, just having that awareness has been really healing, because then it's like, oh, okay, I get what I'm looking for from this person. Right. And so allow it to be a teacher for you before you just decide, you know what, I don't need you. Fine. You don't have to try to be in relationship with someone who makes you feel bad. Absolutely. But use the gift of what they're trying to teach you in that interaction. What is it that triggers you about this person? And how can that awareness help you heal whatever is needing to be healed?
I was just going to ask how we break addiction, but I kind of feel like that is sort of it.
Well, I didn't get to the third bucket.
Oh, no, please, bucket away.
Dignity.
Oh, dignity. Such an important one.
Dignity is your birthright. And it absolutely cannot be handed to you from anybody else. It cannot be. Thank you.
Maury Fontenot.
It can't. So when you find yourself feeling shrunken, smaller, contracted, you're not in your dignity. And that's okay. And right. You know what? I tell people this. It is the simplest tool. Just try it. Dignity exists in your spine. Find yourself just sitting up taller or standing up taller. Truly, do it. Put your shoulders
I
back.
I just did it as you were saying it. I was
imagine
like,
an invisible thread pulling from the top of your head all the way down to the bottom of your spine. Straighten that spine. Put your shoulders back. Like, act like there's a crown on your head.
How do I look?
You look dignified. You look royal.
Thank you.
But just notice, what does dignity in my body feel like? So that when I'm feeling contracted, I can just at least practice dignity and I can remember, oh, I am the source of my own dignity. And
it's
what
like
I'll
how
tell
smiling.
You. Yes.
Smiling. If you smile, tricks the brain into thinking you're happy, even if you're not, because your brain's like, well, you're smiling. Right. So we've got to be happy here.
Right. Right.
And that's, I'm standing up straight. So I'm dignified.
It's not a shortcut for doing the healing work that makes you feel undignified, but it's just a reminder.
Jokes.
No, I'm just saying it's a reminder that you are worthy of dignity and that you can embody dignity. And as you embody dignity, you will start to find ways to remind yourself that you deserve dignity.
Everybody does.
Absolutely. It's your birthright. It truly is your birthright.
Trademark.
TM.
TM. So can you imagine if we were walking around in a world and nobody needed validation? Ugh. Like how rad would we all be? We'd all be like, hey, just come see how great I am. And I'd be like, you're great. And I'm great. And we're all great. What would that
even
look like?
So much nicer.
It'd be so peaceful.
Yeah,
we'd
totally.
Be so
much nicer.
Totally. Everybody would be kinder. It would be no jealousy. All of that. All of those icky feelings, I feel like, come from these validation needs and addictions.
I also think that we'd be so much more apt to support one another.
Agreed.
Because not requiring validation is coming from an abundant place, which says there's enough for you and there's enough for me. But we get stuck in scarcity that says, oh man, you have this thing I really want.
Right.
And so if you have it, I can't have it, which means I can't truly with all of my heart and soul support you. And that is so false. The more that you support the triumphs and the wins and the successes in others, the more likely you are to attract that energy to yourself because you're coming from such a higher vibration. So I think that our need for validation at this level, if it went away, what that would mean is, oh, we're really aware of our value. We're really aware of what we deserve and what we, you know, stand for in the world. And so therefore we can openly support one another in what they stand for in the world and what they achieve, knowing it doesn't take anything away from you to do that.
I feel like that's kind of like me. And it does
You're very
support
like
the
that.
Idea that I don't need it. Normally, I really don't need a lot of validation. And now I'm wondering, how does one get to a space where they need tremendous amounts of validation versus somebody who doesn't need a lot of validation?
I think there's
is it
a million
your parents?
No, I think there's a million things that happen in your upbringing, in your circumstances, in the culture we grow up in the systems of oppression that we have where you have a lot more privilege than other people
do.
So you're 100%. Able to not have to worry about a lot of things that other people of color have had to worry about in our society. So it's a multidimensional system that builds these needs for validation. And it could be anything. But I guess the thing is, it doesn't really matter where it came from. What matters is that you become aware that it's become your operating system and how when seeking validation is your operating system, it's exhausting and it's endless. And then
it sounds empty.
And then you're unfulfilled and you're unrealized. You're not actualized as a self. Which is the whole reason you're here, because you're constantly trying to chameleon to be the thing the other person wants to see. And a lot of us who are children of any kind of trauma are very good chameleons. Like we become the thing that the person across from us needs to see to get their love and attention. But you get to a point when you chameleon that you're like, wait, who am I really? What is my truth? And that's what this is. This is an invitation to that. Like if you just dropped the act because you stopped seeking validation for a minute, what would emerge? What is the truest thing inside of you?
And truthfully, the acting and the chameleon nature of it sounds actually more exhausting than just seeking from within.
Yeah, truthfully. But we don't know that because we're so afraid of what we won't get if we don't put the performance on.
Totally.
So I guess I'm saying let's think about what we do get if we stop the performance.
And how much more joyful people would be.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Well, I hope that was helpful. I hope that it really helps our listeners think about your search for validation, hopefully differently. But Bean, this wouldn't be an episode without your famous takeaway. So without further ado, what is Melissa's takeaway?
I hope you're all enjoying the takeaway music, by the way. It's truly been a great delight for me. My biggest takeaway, I'm not really going to define the whole episode, but rather the greatest lesson I learned from this episode was before you seek validation from anyone else, which can be done in a grand way or in small ways, try to check in with yourself first. How do I feel doing this? How does this make me feel? Going back to something you said earlier about us doing this podcast without validation, because we don't know who's listening and who likes it, has felt really good to us.
Right.
So we don't really know what's going on, but every time I check in with myself about it, because we do go through moments where we're like, what's happening? Yeah. Is anyone getting anything? Are we doing a service for the world? But every time I check in with myself, I think this still feels really good.
Yeah.
And it feels right to me. And yeah, that's really what matters. Until that shifts, I don't see this ending. So I think even if you're still seeking from someone else for certain parts, because validation is natural and happens to all of us, first check in with yourself. See where how it lands with you.
Beautiful. Bean, as always, so well summarized. Pleasure. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Like I said, if you want to support Melissa and I and this podcast, please share the podcast, leave us a review, and we will be back next week with another episode. Bean, see you later.
Bean, see you later.
Bye. This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.